to invite the children in the congregation to come up for their sermon. And I'd also like to thank Alexei Tartakovsky for being our musician this morning. We're going to, everybody take a candle, Heidi-O. You have your candle. Here's Heidi-O. And Mark, come this way. And Victor, you too. And maybe we need some parents over here with the candle holders. Victor, Otto. Okay, so the first thing I want to show you, and I'm going to take one, is my garden. Come in the front of the table. Last fall, I brought one, maybe two plants to show you. And then I cut off pieces of their stems, and I put them in water, and they grew roots, and then I put them in dirt. See the dirt? I put them in pots in dirt. And now look at all the plants. Like, whoa. Because once I got started, it was really fun. Every time I got a new plant, I said, I'll cut another stem and make another plant. So look at all the plants I have. It's really a lot. And it's fun to spread good things around. And that's what the Bible story is about today, spreading good things around. And I do need some adults here. And I'm going to take a light, which is a symbol or a sign of God's Spirit, and we're going to light this symbol of God's Spirit for each other. And I want you, everybody in the pew has a candle, and they're waiting for you to spread your light to them in the pews, guys, okay? Here we go. Do you have a... Pete doesn't have... Okay. So come down to Genevieve, and she'll hold up her candle. Yep, hold it up. Heidi, you ready? Sam? Can you go with Susan? And you'll see how nice it is when you spread your goodness to everybody. So go with Susan, huh? And light... people's candle. They're waiting for you to light their candle. They're waiting for you to light their candle. Come on. You have to stay. Reach out to each other, guys. That's how this works. Do you have a candle, Constance?
No.
No. Okay. Do you have a candle? Alex, can you get me another one? Get me another one, please. Oh, great. And can you take it to Constance? Oh, come here. Oh, okay. Here we go. Yeah. Sometimes that happens. To be careful. There we go. There we go. There we go. Yes. Yes, yes. So now, turn around and look at the room. The light is shining everywhere now in the room. That's what happens when you share your good things and your goodness with other people. And it happens just like that. In a lot of times, in a lot of places. Amen. So carefully blow out your candle. Mar. Make a wish. Okay. And now the choir is going to sing. Okay. Let us pray. Gracious Spirit, dwell with us. Amen. The text for this Sunday is from the book of Numbers, the only day of the year we read from Numbers. And you would think that if you were reading from a book entitled Numbers, it would be logical and linear. But here we are in chapter 11, and we get a family fight. a brawl, a really big one worthy of the Bunkers, if anybody in the room remembers, Archie, Edith, Gloria, and Meathead, right? The father who bellows and shoots from the hip. The harried mother trying really hard to reconcile everybody, calm it all down. And the children, are they independent? Are they dependent? It's a mess. The snarls of family life. And here we are in a book called Numbers. The text takes place during the early years of the Hebrew sojourn in the wilderness, after hundreds of years of slavery and oppression in Egypt. They have been liberated by the mighty hand of God and set loose through an unknown place to fashion a life together and find a land of promise. This is not unlike a church on its way to the next phase of its life together, kind of a wilderness, kind of a promise. Listen now for the word of God from the book called Numbers.
Now the people complained bitterly in the hearing of the Lord, and when he heard it, his wrath flared up, so that the Lord's fire burned among them and consumed the outskirts of the camp. But when the people cried to Moses, he prayed to the Lord, and the fire died out. Hence that place was called Taberath, because there the fire of the Lord burned among them. The riffraff among them were so greedy for meat that even the Israelites lamented again, "If only we had meat for food. We remember the fish we used to eat without cost in Egypt, and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, and the garlic. But now we are famished. We have nothing to look forward to but this manna." When Moses heard the people, family after family, crying at the entrance of their tents, so that the Lord became very angry, he was grieved. "Why do you treat your servant so badly?" Moses asked the Lord. "Why are you so displeased with me that you burden me with all this people? Was it I who conceived all these people? Was it I who gave them birth, that you tell me to carry them at my breast like a nurse carrying an infant to the land you have promised under oath to their fathers? Where can I get meat to give all these people? For they are crying to me, 'Give us meat for our food.' I cannot carry all these people by myself. They are too heavy for me. If this is the way you will deal with me, then please do me the favor of killing me all at once, so that I need no longer face my distress." And then the Lord said to Moses, "Assemble for me 70 of the elders of Israel, whom you know to be elders and authority among the people, and bring them to the tent of meeting. And when they are in place beside you, I will come down and speak with you there. I will also take some of the spirit that is on you and confer it on them, that they may share the burden of the people with you. Then you will not have to bear it by yourself. To the people, however, you shall say, 'Sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, when you shall have meat to eat. For in the hearing of the Lord you have cried, "If only we had meat for food. Oh, how well off we were in Egypt." Therefore, the Lord will give you meat to eat, and you will eat it, not for one day, or 2 days, or 5, or 10, or 20, but for a whole month, until it comes out of your very nostrils and becomes loathsome to you. For you have rejected the Lord who is in your midst, and in his presence you have cried, "Why did we ever leave Egypt?" So Moses went out and told the people what the Lord had said. Gathering 70 elders of the people, he had them stand around the tent. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke to them. Taking some of the spirit that was on Moses, he bestowed it on the 70 elders. And as the spirit came to rest on them, They prophesied, but did not continue. Now two men, one named Eldad and the other Medad, had remained in the camp. Yet the Spirit also came to rest on them. They too had been on the list, but had not gone out to the tent. So they prophesied in the camp. So when a young man ran and reported to Moses, "Eldad and Medad are prophesying in the camp," Joshua, son of Nun, who from his youth had been Moses' aide, said, "My lord, Moses, stop them." But Moses answered them, "Are you jealous for my sake? If only all the people of the Lord were prophets, if only the Lord would bestow his Spirit on them."
Number one, everything used to be better than it is now. Was that the 90s or the 50s? Are you kidding? 3,500 years ago, things were better than they are now? Yeah, if you like to die when you're 35 and not have indoor plumbing. So is the universal truth that it was better back in the day? Or is the universal truth that people are always going to complain? I'm thinking B. Secondly, the Lord God has spent a lot of time and effort on these people, and he is now outraged at their ingratitude. Do you notice that he sets fire on the perimeter of the camp? If you start a fire in the middle of the camp, everybody runs for the exit. If you start a fire on the outside, he has officially had it. He's done. So now they're crying again and begging Moses, "Please make him stop. Please make it's not our fault." It never is. In this translation, it says, "It was the riffraff that started the complaining, and we sort of fell in with them." In other translations, it says, "The worthless foreigners in our midst started the complaining, and that's why we just sort of fell in with it." It's never our fault. Bad examples. So Moses is so beaten down that by verse 15, he says to God, "Please do me the favor of killing me now, because I cannot carry all this people by myself." Biblical scholars have studied this situation and given Moses a diagnosis of burnout. I used to think only the whiners talked about burnout, and then I read a book about it. Burnout is real, and it's potentially fatal. Moses doesn't have to ask God to kill him. He might kill himself with the burden of leadership that he's bearing. This is how burnout works. If there is a crisis every single day, if there is constant stress that you cannot resolve, the adrenaline in your body just surges through you, gives you heightened energy, you're on red alert, it's like drinking 20 Red Bulls, which sounds great. But it's not. What it means is your internal organs are flooded, like stomping the accelerator to the floor with the car in park. Not really good for the engine, right? That adrenaline rush is meant for one life and death crisis, maybe every 20 years, when the tree is about to fall on a child and you have to get the kid out of the way. But if you live with a chronic adrenaline rush, there are terrible physical consequences to your organs. Chest pain, heart palpitations. Does that sound like heart attacks to you? Shortness of breath, headaches, your immune system is weakened, and you get sick. People have strokes, people have heart attacks, anxiety, depression, and anger. And it happens to people who care, not to the whiners. It happens to the people who work hard. And it's dangerous not only to that person, but it's dangerous to the organization that's being served. Bruce Ewing, in a couple of our dark years, called it DEFCON 11. DEFCON is the defense readiness condition. The highest number is 5. Okay, so Moses calls it distress. I can't take this distress. And God responds, first by giving Moses what he needs, mature, spirit-led leaders who will share the burden. Leadership is not glory, notice. It's a burden. The second thing God does is give the people what they want. You want meat? I'll give you meat. You'll eat meat until it's coming out of your nose, until you gag and vomit, until the sight of it will make you sick. Bon appetit. This is a very interesting depiction of God. This is the God who is so fed up that he is ferocious. Do not mess with this God. Here's a note. There are already people with this mature cast of mind. God says to Moses, go collect 70 of the elders. That doesn't mean the old people. An elder is meant to mean people who are mature spiritually and emotionally. 70 is a big number. You notice the Bible uses 40 most of the time. 70 is almost twice that. 70 is a lot. So you've got a lot of trustworthy, thoughtful, reliable people just standing around. Put them to work. There's no shortage. Call a meeting. And God will be present to spread that spirit. And it says they prophesy. This is not a meeting with a crystal ball. To prophesy in the Bible means to take a clear-eyed look at the situation, honestly acknowledge what got you there, and it's usually your own behavior, right? And how you are going to get out, and everybody has to take responsibility for that too. You're meant to have no axe to grind but God's. You need to take responsibility for having gotten in and for getting out. So now there's action and there's hope. United by and with the Spirit of God, shoulders to the wheel. When I was a kid, my family subscribed to the Reader's Digest, and they always had these little funny things, and I still remember the one. When there was a chaplain to the Senate, one of them led off with a prayer that said, O God, you have given us minds. O God, you have given us mouths. Please help us to keep them connected. Let's use that one. It's a team effort. Working together, life in the wilderness can flourish. Communities are prone to dark moods. It's just one of those things that happens. It's easy to find fault with anything. No great brains to see the flaws all around you. Not hard to second-guess decisions. Let me tell you, when I was an associate minister, I could have made much better decisions than the senior minister any day of the week. Done a better sermon on that text, I could possibly have been great. But it's different when you're taking the headwind, when you're out in front. So everybody taking the headwind together, that's the winning formula. It's easy to blame and be kind and blind to the goodness and the grace around you. And an infection of negativity spreads, as we know. Moses feels futile and inadequate and alone and frustrated and exhausted and disappointed and discouraged, and thus the Presbyterian form of government is born. Presbytero is the Greek word for elder. You get the elders together, you lay on hands, you get a representative democracy. And you don't vote what you think the voters want you to vote. You vote as the Spirit leads you. Because our commitment is that when we are met together, the Spirit meets with us. And the Spirit moves among us. And I think we've all experienced that activity of the Spirit when together we consider something and make a decision. It's not a panacea. In this text, we're talking about a charismatic moment in the history of the community. But you have to get it institutionalized. You have to set term limits. You have to get it under some kind of control. John Calvin's battle cry was, you have to do everything decently and in order. So then you have the two guys who didn't go to the meeting, Eldad and Medad. They're hanging around in the camp, and it says they prophesied anyway. Well, they were registered. The text says they were registered. So they were elders. But what were they doing? Were they tweeting? Were they blogging? Were they whipping up recipes for quail? Were they busy being the thorn in the side of the people in the meeting, second-guessing that decision and saying, oh, we could have done better, never mind that we missed the meeting. So the initial response is, stop them, shut them up. But Moses makes one of the best speeches in the Bible. He says, don't stop them, let them rave on. I wish everybody had a piece of the Spirit and would prophesy and just say whatever you want to say. I wish all God's people would prophesy. Tear down that stupid wall. Moses is glad to share authority and resources, glad to empower others. He is not a self-promoter. He is not a celebrity. He is happy to use the Spirit to build the community. The question for us all always is how to lead by the Spirit and how to follow by the Spirit, how to respond to the gifts of the Spirit. And just think, once again in this text, human beings are given an attribute of the divine, given the divine spirit. I don't hear anything about limitations here. How sacred we are together. Amen.